Hey guys, welcome to Catafalque, a Coffin Comics fan podcast. This is episode 4. I'm your host, Ed. We'll be looking at La Muerta Descent, published January of 2016. This was created and the story developed by Brian Polito, written by Mike McLean, illustrated by Joel Gomez, colors by CC De La Cruz, lettered by Marshall Dillon. The cover is illustrated by Richard Ortiz and colored by Diego Garcia. And it is similar, but there is a different sensibility between the cover and the inside art. The cover itself, In Death She Lives, La Muerta, number one, Descent, chapter one, it tells us. And on down here in the lower left, we have the Coffin Comics logo and then the creatives. The artwork on the cover is just, it's splendid. The background is something on fire. Basically, you just see the flames and the smoke, embers rolling up into the sky. But the foreground is a young lady, and this is the primary young lady of the story, Maria. She is, her face is make-upped in the sugar skull format, owning to her Dies de la Muerta theme that she has going here, and her name, La Muerta. Silver chain necklace with crosses on it, all hanging upside down. She's wearing a crop top with various armbands that are spiked and studded and whatnot, but her arms are crossed across her chest, each of them holding a 9mm. Earrings, one in one ear, two in the other. Very, very striking cover. The cover is what grabbed my attention when I heard this advertised on Kickstarter. I've been following Coffin Comics since Polito started his Kickstarter. I have all of these that I'm talking about digitally. I decided to go digital because the, partially because of the price, but also because of just the space that these things are going to take up. They're 40 to 50 pages each, and I'm already running low on space. If I get too many more comics, I think my wife is going to make me choose whether the comics take up the room in the house or I do. And so I don't want to get to that decision. Inside, the art by Joel Gomez and CC De La Cruz, the colors, I don't really have too much qualms about, I guess. The illustration style is a little on the looser, what I would call the looser side. Not quite as much definition, and the colorist doesn't necessarily color extremely tight to define that definition either. So everything combines to being a very loose art. The color palettes is fine for what it is. I mean, La Muerta is, you know, you would think that you're going to have kind of a dark color palette, and the story vibes that we're dealing with a Mexican or a Spanish. I apologize that I don't know the difference. I'm terminally Caucasian. Drug cartel. A lot of the action occurs at night when I guess the cartel is active. The members of the cartel are active. Much partying at night. The Dias de los Muertos parades and celebrations are at night, so everything so far is occurring at night. So the color palette lends itself to needing to be a darker kind of palette because of the story. We open in a church where somebody is praying in front of a rack of candles. I'm going to assume that it's a Catholic church. I think we have stained glass windows and we have writing, but the writing is reversed because we're seeing it from inside. But I believe they're an angel, probably a saint, and maybe a couple saints here. But the gentleman is praying. In front of him is a picture of a little girl holding a stuffed penguin. Across from him is another lady. I believe she is praying as well, but they both are taken aback because you hear blam, 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 and then somebody comes staggering in, and the dude looks up and says, Nico? And Nico says, sorry, Don Caruso, tried to stop him. And he falls forward, and you see in his back is a huge bowie knife or a hunting knife, whatever you want to call it, almost a sword length. "Who's there?" Don Carlos says, and the doors slam open, and there's five. There's five people that force themselves into the church here. And they turn out to be the five capos of Mama Z. And they're coming to Don Carlo because he took from Mama Z as he is a mafioso. So he is kind of adjacent to her, but I guess he's supposed to be subservient, and he wasn't. Ultimately, his whatever he did led to the death of his daughter, Katie, because one of the big capos here, I believe this is the one that we're going to find out is named Diablo, tosses a stuffed penguin to Don Carlo, I guess signifying that maybe the daughter was missing, and because they had kidnapped her, and then they ultimately killed her, and that's why they gave him the stuffed animal, I guess if you want to read into it a little bit there. But then they start putting the boot to Don Carlo, beat him down, pin him down, and then on the altar, they grab him up, lay him on the altar, and they put a big knife through his chest. All the while, this is filmed as evidence for Mama Z, so she can see that what her people are telling her is what happened. Later that night, Diablo makes a visit to Mama Z. She is painting, maybe writing on the wall in her house. Looks like it's a big fancy house. Could be a church that she's taken over, but I think maybe it's a house. Got some muscle here at the front door that recognize Diablo. He gets by. She's in there writing. Writing on the wall. I'll just say writing. And there's a young lady watching over her that we're going to find out is named Ruka. And on a small stand that Lady Z is painting from is a beaker full of a red liquid. And Diablo comes up and drops Don Carlo's heart in the red liquid. The lady that's painting turns around, and we find out for sure that she is Lady Z. A long black dress like... Carida from the Munsters, the wife. I can't remember her name. But this woman also is wearing a big necklace, but it's a necklace of, looks like rib bones coming down the necklace with a skull in the center. She takes the beaker with the heart in it and walks over to a big shelf and just sets it on the shelf and says, my collection can always use another heart. Don Carlo says that he didn't steal the money. The money is what they're looking for, Lady Z's people. Lady Z felt that Don Carlo was the one that stole the money. In reality, it turns out he didn't. He said so, but the capos went ahead and killed Don Carlo and brought Lady Z his heart, just as she had instructed them to do. Diablo is now telling her, here's, you know, what you ask us to do, but I don't know that dude was the one responsible. He said he was innocent, and I don't know that I don't believe him, basically, is what he's saying. Hey, back, took a break there, looking at some slight geek room renovations based on a late Christmas present from the wife that came in today. It's a really killer present, too, man. It's awesome. But so we see the next page, we see who did take the money, because he's in a hourly rate motel, I guess, somewhere. And this takes place somewhere, maybe some very southern American city, El Paso, or, you know, something like that. Maybe the Mexican equivalent close to the border with the U.S. is what I feel that is going on here. So it's got a lot of those tropes and settings and characters and things like that. That's where Maria is from. But this man is counting the money, and then he shoves a bunch of it in a backpack, and it's a book bag, and then takes off with it. And when he's outside, we see a sign that says hourly rates there on the motel. We cut back to the desert, where we find out this is Maria, and she's trying to help one of her fellow soldiers. I don't know what level they are, battalion, troop, group. I don't know. I don't know the military terms very well either. That'd be the yard sale artist and the brothers and all that. Dark Web and those guys. But she's trying to keep him alive and he gets shot. And she finds out as she looks up in the little hovel that they have taken refuge here in the desert. I'm going to assume again that this maybe is Iraq. And she looks up and sees a whole bunch of dead bodies hanging. Looks like they've been flayed or perhaps skinned completely and they're bleeding down, making a big pool that she's standing in as she's looking up. And she wakes up. She wakes up in the back of a cab as she has just made her way home and she's grabbed a cab going home. But she passes a street shrine to the goddess, to the saint, I guess, the saint, Santa Muerta. And that turns out is going to be, is that what she is, a saint? Let me look here. Folk Catholic saint, a folk saint, yeah. She is going to be the patron saint of La Muerta. But here, something has attracted her attention, and it is a street shrine. The statuary is made up like Santa Muerta would be. She's got the sugar skull makeup. She's holding a globe in one hand and a scythe in the other. She's got a huge robe with a hood. At her feet is a stuffed penguin. So someone has prayed to Santa Muerta about this little girl already. But there is a denizen of the streets here, someone who lives on the streets. His cart is next to him. And he's bending down maybe or reaching for something when Maria sees him. Then when she gets out, we find that he has dropped his bottle of tequila, which that wasn't drawn in the previous panel, so I don't know the connection. And he's buzzing with flies, so he is truly a street denizen here. But she speaks to him, asking him if he's okay. He says, gracias, chica. Did your good deed for the day. Maybe Santa Muerta will smile down on you, eh? As he takes his cart and he goes on his way. But she turns and takes in the Santa Muerta shrine here. Finally, she's got her rucksack and she's just about to get home. She's walking through the door. Everybody is screaming, yelling, welcome home. It's night, of course. She's looking around, being reintroduced to her childhood dog, Peaches. Mom and Dad is there, but her brother, what is his name? Xavier is not there. She asks about him. Mom and Dad says, oh, he'll be around. He's just busy right now. Mom continues, it's Dia de los Muertos, remember? And so they go into town and there's a big parade and costumes and they go to the local cemetery and Mom speaks a prayer, I think is what it is. And this whole time, Maria and her mother are being watched by, I believe it's one of the capos, and it might turn out to be Santos because the others that I see here that I've written, it is not. And there's one that they didn't even give a name to yet. So I believe this is the one named Santos. He's a big, gruff cowboy hat wearing southern U.S., northern Mexican good old boy. Walking home now from the cemetery, they pass a big street art installment by a gentleman named Danny Vega that Maria knows. She went to school with him. Looks like he's on his way to being an excellent artist. He's doing a Sugar Skull de la Muerta painting on the side of one of the buildings here. And then he says he's got to take off, and he takes off riding a bike that is just nothing that I haven't seen in the more Caucasian aspects of American society. It's a low rider with big bars, and I mean it just smacks of Mexican, Cuban, South American, American mixture bike. They get home, there's music playing, and they go in, and Cielito Lindo. Cielito Lindo is words, and that's the only name I know for that song. I don't think it's the official song. those are some of the lyrics. They go in, and it is her brother Xavier, and he's made a full dinner for them, including tamales. Apparently, Maria likes tamales. And she's asking him, you know, what is this? Is this a peace offering? He's like, nope, nothing going on. This is me turning over a new leaf. Outside is this big, rugged Southern Mexican cowboy on his honking motorcycle here waiting. A truck pulls up, and three other capos get out, including him. So apparently they're going to ransack this house here and kill some people. Little celebration inside. Maria answers the door when it's knocked, and a couple of them are here. Santos says, hola, can Xavier come out to play? And she tells him no, and the dude's like, well, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. And he tries to break in the door, and while that's going on, two of the others, who are Chavo and the fifth one that is the unnamed capo, come busting in the back. In the front here, coming through is Ruka and Santos. So they're breaking in the door, and Maria immediately takes out Chavo with a big tackle, but the big dude Diablo, well, yeah, I think it's Diablo, kicks her in the face, knocks her out. They kill the dog, they shoot the dog, Peaches, and then Diablo goes looking around, and in the kitchen he finds the knapsack full of money. So that tells us that somehow it's Xavier that had gotten a hold of the money from Madam Z. So now they have all the ammunition they need. Not that they need ammunition, because they killed the other mob dude, and they didn't think he did it, but it's what she had ordered. So now Diablo, we see, kills Xavier, and then the other three shoot up the place, killing mom and dad and granny and anybody else, leaving Maria there to die. They set the house on fire. So they assume that's it. Well, Maria is dragging, scratching, kicking around, but she just doesn't have the strength anymore because she's been pretty beat up. And suddenly we see somebody that bears a striking resemblance to this bum that she met at the Santa Maria, Santa Muerta shrine. And he picks her up and carries her out. She has some dreams that wake her up. She wakes up in a pretty cool looking big building here with crap all over the place. Looks like maybe it's an old church. And the dude is there. And first she grabbed, there's a knife by her. Why would you leave her with a knife? Yeah, I don't know. But she brandishes the knife on him, and he's like, whoa, you know, chill out. I've been helping you. He said, you've been out a little bit. She says, oh, how long have I been out? He said, oh, about 8 months. She's like, what? 8 months? He's like, yeah. And you can see him kind of calculating his head about what he does. Remember, he's an alcoholic at this point, so his sense of time probably is off. But he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's been about 8 months. She asks about her family. He says, yeah, none of them made it. Well, take me to them. So he takes her to the part of the cemetery where they are. She sees the gravestone for her mom and dad. I don't see any other immediate gravestones here for grandma or Xavier or whatever, but I'm going to presume that they're all gone. Then there's a little talking back and forth between them. Who did this? Where do I find them? She starts to go to the police station, but she runs into Santos. He is a cop on the force. And then she heads back to this place where she's been just shacking this dude, this old church. And she's sleeping again, and Santa Muerta appears to her in her dreams, saying, Justicia. She wakes up suddenly. So she is being pinned by Santa Muerta to get justice. She wanders around looking for something to do, what she can do, wanders into what passes as a bathroom, and sees a can of ceramic white paint in a bucket. I'm assuming that is like room paint or outdoor paint or something like that, but she decides to use it to paint up her face. She finds black somewhere else. I don't know if there's anything here. Nothing listed on that in that panel. But she paints up her face, Sugar Skull style, and thus is born La Muerta. So now she does this. She goes out hunting. She runs or looks for Chavo first. He's out orchestrating. Yeah. Cockfights, taking bets, winning bets. They are the roosters are using some major knives on their feet. Not knives. What do they call them? Blades. I don't know. These look to be 8-10 inches long. I mean, these are the biggest blades I've ever seen for cockfighting. Not that I know anything about that, being in southern West Virginia and seeing all the little doghouses and tents behind everybody's houses around here, because it's illegal. So nobody's doing that. That's not what they're raising those roosters for. So it's over. Chavo's collecting money, him and his stooge. Maria attacks, slashing the stooge from behind, then comes at Chavo and is able to take him down, but then he's got this big metal briefcase full of money that he whacks her in the head with and knocks her kind of loopy. And as he's moving in for the kill, he decides he's going to talk some shit to her and gets real close. And she takes one of those blades and shoves it through his ear, kills him, leaves him there, grabs the sunglasses that he had in the briefcase, finds that there are some keys in the briefcase, and goes out and grabs his ride too. It's Pussy Wagon. No, that's a different badass female movie. The stooge that lived goes to tell Mama Z, and because he's relaying bad news, she clubs him in the head with one of those Aztec war clubs. What's it called? A Macuahuitl? Macuahuitl? Something like that. It's the big rounded club, looks like a bat, only it's got big metallic studs on it. She crushes his head with that. "This ghost girl, I want her heart," she says. "Yes, Mama," says Santos. So he must be the main capo that she's got. We're then introduced to a couple detectives here on the local police force, Capote and King. King is good guy. Capote's kind of questionable. But King is looking at a file of Maria. Now, why he's looking at that, I'm not sure. Nothing has come about. Unless maybe it has to do, well, this is 8 months later. So, I mean, even the death of her family, why would he still be carrying around the file of someone that supposedly died in that fire with them? I don't know why he has this. But he's carrying it around, looking at it, making you think that he suspects her as being the one that killed Chavo. But like I said, she's dead as far as anyone knows. So King and Capote give us some more background information about Chavo, about Mama Z, what's going on. We see the next day, La Muerta has put the sunglasses on the tombstone of her mom and dad. She's surprised by this denizen of the streets, this vagrant that we find out. Do we find out here? Yeah, we find out he's ex-military. Not ex-military. He's ex-thug. He used to do the same thing that these capos are doing, but he was asked to do one too many jobs, and his boss dropped him out of a helicopter as punishment and killed his daughter. So he kind of just has been living the street life since then. Next up is La Muerta is going after Ruka. She's at a strip joint. She runs the strip joint. She's interviewing women. La Muerta jumps in as one of the women and starts dancing. We see that Ruka has a razor blade that she carries around on a necklace on her throat so that she can divvy up and take care of the cocaine piles that she has over here on her little table next to her. Suddenly, in the middle of the dance, La Muerta breaks out of the stripper character, finds out that she's armed. She's been hiding it behind her back as she's dancing. She kills two of the thugs that are here guarding Ruka. Ruka takes a switchblade to the throat of the previous dancer who she had grabbed off a stage talking crap to, and that's when La Muerta got up on stage and started dancing. So she's got this hostage, and La Muerta says, "Hey, you let her go and we'll just go at it one-on-one." So there's a fight here, a chick fight between the two. Ultimately what happens is Ruka gets La Muerta down and is about to put one in her eye, but La Muerta realizes that Puka's got this razor blade on a chain ready to be used, and she uses it to slash her throat, and she bleeds out. Goes back outside. La Muerta, as she's walking away, she once again runs into Danny Vega. He sees her, and on the wall, knowing that she probably has done some deeds to a person in the Mama Z clan, because she comes out covered in blood, he paints a big portraiture of her on the side of this strip joint, saying that La Muerta is crushing Lady Z, basically. She's standing on her and doing all this stuff. Next up is a pool joint. I don't know where it is. I think it's later that night. And it is Capote and King shooting pool, talking shop. And in comes Santos. And everybody knows that he's dirty. Everybody knows that he's beholden to Mama Z. But there's nothing they can do about it. Except that, interestingly enough, Capote is the one that walks out. So maybe I got that wrong. Maybe Capote's the good guy and King's the questionable. But King was going to stay and shoot some pool. But Capote says that the air's all fouled. You know, I need to get the hell out of here. So he takes off and goes around the side of the building and starts to take a whiz. And La Muerta runs into him, asking about, just asking for information. She says the cop inside with the snake tattoo, he works for the Zavala cartel. That's Mama Z. He says, yeah, courts, da-da-da. She says, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, basically, his side is, yeah, he's a cop. It's hard to do. Her side is, I don't care if he's a cop or not. He's dirty. He's going down. So, next up, we head to Mama Z's. She's feeding a very large snake that is taking up the majority of a dried-out pool, swimming pool. She's been feeding it, throwing it animals and pieces of humans, I guess, that she's killed and whatnot. Got some pictures from the strip club of La Muerta. Santos is showing her, and she's like, oh, okay, now you know who to kill. And so there we go. You want to catch this girl, Santos? You need the right bait. And then the final panel is a panel of La Muerta standing, she's standing atop a church on one of the gargoyles of the church with birds that she has disrupted flapping and flying around her. Very much puts me in mind of, let's say, a scene from The Crow, maybe, or maybe reminiscent of Celine from Underworld, also the opening scene. Something like that. But that's the mood, basically, that is being set by La Muerta. And that is where this first chapter ends. So she's going after the Zavala cartel. She's knocked out two of the big generals, but there are still three left. And Mama Z, who is just every bit as mean as the generals she employs. So we'll have to see. I don't know if it finishes up in this issue or if it takes two more issues, but La Muerta, probably in the Coffin Comics world so far, is my favorite character. I like her the best, enjoy her, look forward to her books coming out the most, all that kind of stuff. So this is a fun book for me to follow and keep up with. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out with me for a little while today. What are we at? Almost 30 minutes. That's not too bad. A lot shorter than the previous episode. Next up, looks like it is scheduled to be Lady Death Extinction Express will be the next Coffin Comics book that I did look at. Talk to you guys then. Ciao.
Intro and outro music courtesy of FestalianStudios.com.